10 weekends could change the way you see your land, your home, and your future. In this episode of Peak Environment, three recent graduates of the 2025 Permaculture Design Certification course share the moments that surprised them, the skills that reshaped their thinking, and the unexpected community they found along the way.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Welcome to another episode of Peak Environment, a Studio 809 community podcast in the Pikes Peak region about environmental integrity and stewardship. I'm your host, Allie Richardson from Pikes Peak Permaculture. Pikes Peak Permaculture is a 501c3 educational nonprofit that's been serving Southern Colorado since 2002 in the nature and ways of permaculture design. Permaculture is a way of designing systems that work with nature, not against it. It's rooted in three core ethics and a set of guiding principles that help us design resilient, regenerative solutions in any climate. This strengthens our connection to the land and all who live here, restoring our soil, water, and food systems, and ensuring this region can thrive for generations. We work with community members, schools, and many other organizations to further promote permaculture design for the Pikes Peak region and beyond. To learn more about our programs, visit pikespeakpermaculture.org. And for conversations like this one today, explore other episodes of Peak Environment at studio809podcast.com. In today's episode, we're diving into the experience of taking a permaculture design certification, which is one of the core offerings from Pikes Peak Permaculture. This certification follows the 72-hour standard set in 1980s and the curriculum in line with Permaculture Institute of North America, with added topics tailored to our region. Students learn real design skills, visit project sites, and work in teams to create a full design plan. And just as important, they find community. Many of us felt like we were speaking a new language until we met others who understood it too. In the studio, I'm joined by three recent graduates of the 2025 PDC, and we're going to be exploring their reflections, their takeaways, and why they believe this journey might be meaningful for you as well. Let's begin with introductions. Can you guys tell us a little bit about who you are and what led you to Pikes Peak Permaculture's design course? What was happening in your life when you first discovered permaculture, and what made you say yes to learning more?
Hi, I'm Christy Taylor, born and raised here in Colorado Springs. I am a water advocate and consultant, and I steward some public land building community gardens within our region. Pikes Peak Permaculture was probably the best decision I made in 2025. And I love that it really connected the dots for me. I had taken over Vermahoe Community Garden, located in Old Colorado City, three seasons prior. And upon coming into the course, I was just getting all of this recognition or reassurance that what we were doing there, which is different than most community gardens, was exactly what I was about to dive deeper into. And that's how it started.
Well, we're glad you're here to explain your journey with us. Thanks, Christy.
Thanks.
Well, I am Shay Koloff. I have been in Colorado for going on 6 years now, and I found permaculture, honestly, it really found me. I was already on the path of being a gardener. I had already been involved in community gardens years prior before moving to Colorado. So the move here actually was a complete change in climate and just a change of experience in what I was used to as a gardener. So I happened to just run into, you know, Becky, who is one of the spearheads of, you know, Pikes Peak Permaculture. She's like the founder. And basically she changed my life. You know, she was like, hey, do you like landscaping? Do you know how to garden? And I was like, I do. And that just blew up from there. I was then introduced to all of these really cool people within the Pikes Peak permaculture community and got pulled into this really awesome lifestyle of just learning how to be more mindful about the land and being more open to community. And because of that, I was able to start PDC in 2023. And then because of a unexpected life experience, I had to stop my course and then came back in 2025. And I'm so happy that I did. I met some amazing people in this course and it was amazing. I learned a lot and I would always recommend, if possible, to take this more than once.
Good point there, Shay. Thanks for coming in.
My name is Emerald Green. I've pretty much an adopted Colorado native, so I've been here for most of my life, but I was not born here. I'm also a hobbyist gardener and an avid trail runner, and I'm a person that really enjoys a good challenge. And gardening in Colorado is up there in those challenges out of all things. I mean, it's a very challenging climate with the way the temperature swings from hour to hour, just everything we have going on there. I've always failed at conventional gardening, and I could not understand why for the longest time, and I wanted to learn more. So one day when I was training for the Pikes Peak Ascent, I was running up Bar Trail and I stumbled upon some natural, like a natural berry patch. So there was some strawberries and raspberries, and they were the best tasting things I have ever stumbled across in my life. And I was wondering, how can Mother Nature do that? It just out in the middle of nowhere with nobody tending to it, but I can't do it with all the tender love and care that I try to do it at home. So I started researching permaculture and kind of stumbled across that from YouTube. And then one day, it's like the universe was speaking to me because I got this email about a permaculture course. So that's how I ended up at the PDC in 2025. And it has been an amazing experience, and I've learned so much, and I'm so, so happy I went through it. It was a great experience.
Thank you, Emmy. Yeah. I think it was echoed throughout the three of you in your introduction, too, mm-hmm. that this is a very harsh climate, and mm-hmm. to come here, especially, you know, I'm from Virginia, too, and mm-hmm. moved around through the military, and coming here, you know, I failed year after year after year, and I said, there's got to be a way, because I saw Flying Pig Farm and how beautiful that place was, so I knew, and, you know, I came into permaculture, too, through word of mouth, and so, yeah, again, life-changing for us all, I think. So let's talk a little bit about the course experience and the transformation that you've received from the course. What was the most important experiences that you all had during the design course? Was there something specifically that gave you that light bulb moment, like, wow, I'm in the place that I'm supposed to be in?
I think right in the beginning, at the first meetup that we had at KIPPS, that day you came in, and it was, or that first weekend, it was about water. So I knew I was in the right place, right? And I was bawling. Because we got all the truths, you know, about water. I think one of the most profound things that I experienced right off the bat was the shared need or desire for community. I think all of us expressed that we mm-hmm. were wanting community, and we were big, right? How many on the first day? 21?
Yeah. We had 24 students signed
up. Yeah, right? And so mm-hmm. that was really comforting. I knew I was in a room full of people that didn't have all of the same mindsets, but had the same end goals. And I think that that was really important to be a part of as well. And I think community was a big part of
what I pulled and extracted from the course throughout the whole thing, is how to be in community. How can I be a better leader in the community that I'm in? And beyond that, it was really nice to work on site projects who also had community leaders, and to see their real struggles with the land. I thought it was so cool to have several sites out east of here where, as a community, we're seeing so many people come in and buy big chunks of land and then not really know how to work with it. And so to be hands-on with that felt really good. But then my site wasn't, well, I guess it was out east, you know, being down at Nola Farms and sitting and talking to the stewards of that land when we did the interview for the design site, listening to also their desire for community as well. And so that was a big focus for what I took from the PDC. It was so cool to come into a space that has a handbook on how to deepen our connection with the land. I think people are searching for that. And within the principles that we actually were able to apply, not just within our design sites, but when we went home, or like within working with each other, we got to practice all of these principles from day one. And so I think that was really nice coming out of there. It's not so much a practice. You know, we're all taking on this movement, and kind of because of the design of the PDC too, which I feel is really important, the length. I don't know if we got so many sites out east. I think that was part by design and part where the cards fell, right?
Yep, every year it'll be different design sites, and it's really who opens their land to us and wants to learn more permaculture as well.
Yeah, and I think that also is just a great practice of living with the land too, right? We don't plan out so much. We leave space for the universe to choose the land, you know? So I'll stop there.
I feel like, honestly, every part of the course is so transformational in some different way. Mm-hmm. I think it was really crazy because I honestly was so close to not even coming this year or last year. I was like, oh, I don't know. Should I? I don't know. Because you do think about, you know, it is the 10 weeks of commitment and, you know, do you really want to spend that time? Are you really that committed? So it is definitely first off thinking about, like, how important is this to you? And then also, when I was actually in the course, I would say, honestly, my most pivotal point of thinking, like, wow, this is something that you can't ignore. Like, it's supposed to be a part of life. And I think it was definitely like that camping weekend. And we were, you know, out on Nola Farms, and it was raining, and we had our tents under the tree, and I was like, I don't want to camp. I don't want to be here. Help me, please. Please get me out of here. My God. And I brought all my stuff, and I was just like, we got to use the outhouse. There's no light in there. Oh, there's the pee on the seat. And I was just so, like, trying to immerse myself back into, like, well, you know what? This is primitive living. Like, if I want to be on the farm and I want to get the experience. And so I really did, you know, the going into the night before, I was kind of like, ugh. The morning after waking up, and I was like listening to all the animals making all their hee-haws and sounds and things. And I was just like, this is, you know, this is really what it's about.
like if I right now had woken up in my own space with all of my animals surrounding me making all their sounds, and you know, it'd be kind of annoying, but I'd be happy knowing that those are all of my responsibilities. So I knew then I was in the right place.
There you go.
It took some time because every weekend I knew that there was things I enjoyed. But it was also hard for me, obviously, when we talk a lot about permaculture, we talk a lot about background and socioeconomical, you know, challenges, and how do you see yourself implementing this? And we all come from different, you know, places in the course. Some of us have land and some of us don't. And some of us, you know, have jobs that require us to be very much environmentally, you know, sensitive, and then others not so much. There was so many different parts and pieces that play, you know, when we're thinking about how we all came here and what we all could get out of this. And so a lot of my framework within that was taking away that I don't necessarily have to have something, I don't have to have a certain thing in order to be permaculture, or I don't have to be at a certain level to implement the principles of permaculture. I can still do that, you know, in my rental home, or I can still do that, you know, in my apartment or wherever, because the principles are technically, you know, lifestyle, and you're not going to always be perfect. We did touch about that a lot as well, you know, not feeling bad if we go out to eat or we get that cup from Starbucks, you know, that we obviously know that these are things that don't feed into the positives, but we are also very much aware that if we can slow that by just being intentional, that makes the difference. So because of that, I have definitely learned more about being more intentional, which really, even just that alone, changes your perspective mm-hmm. of life, whether you include permaculture in a daily or not. So that's really what changed for me. I learned a lot about that. And then in business or just in personal life, implementing that in my daily life, like I said, has really like helped me with slow living mm-hmm. and thinking more, like obviously figuring out how to like recycle things more. Like I save all of my glass jars from all of my spaghetti and my Alfredo. I clean them out and I find different things to use them for. And people are like, what's going on? You know, I'm using the jars.
You're prepared for a disaster now.
Exactly. That is exactly the way that I describe it. I tell people that because I, you know a lot about herbalism and how to utilize, you know, the herbs from the garden to help out with cures and treatments and things. That's just one part of it. But then also knowing how to grow your own food and just how to be sustainable with your home is a completely separate level. And with those two combined, you are pretty much ready for the end of the world. Like I, you know, could lose all the things tomorrow, but and maybe I won't have an answer for how to do them right then, but I wouldn't know what I needed. And some people don't even know that. So that's something I definitely took away from the course, realizing just those little things. Like, what would I need? And you know, I could have that list right now. You know, 25 different things I could utilize right now.
Absolutely.
That mm-hmm. some people wouldn't even have a clue. Like, man, like, what would I need if something happened tomorrow? So these are things that I'm definitely still carrying today. And then, you know, I'm not utilizing it too much in business. But I do think that I just...
Yet.
I'm not utilizing it in business yet, but it is it's still a principle of how I treat people because of the way that we've really kind of put in those three cores, you know, mm-hmm. being of people care and fair share and earth care. You know, we're caring for everything, mm-hmm. and that part of it doesn't really leave you regardless of how you're practicing. So because of that, I think about that in all of my interactions every day.
Well, I'm really glad you jumped back in to the PDC.
Me too.
Same. And embrace things that felt different, like you were talking about with the farm. And I like that you brought up, Shay, about feeling out of place sometimes in the course. When I took my PDC the first time, I remember 2 weeks in, the second weekend, I was crying because I was like, I don't know how to garden. I don't know how to do any of these things that these other wonderful people around me do. But that's okay. You don't have to do it all. And that's what's beautiful about this community is, you know, Shay, you're an herbalist, and Christy, you're a gardener.
Skillshare.
That's right. And yeah. and learning so many skills that are necessary to take care of ourselves, but also those future generations are going to be really important. So
absolutely.
Thanks for sharing your transformation.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling me a gardener. I don't feel like that's
I know the you place don't, so that's why I'm I said in. It. You're doing really great.
We are a gardener. We're all gardeners
we
here.
Are.
Yeah. Certified.
And horticulturists.
That's right. That's right.
Oh. And Emmy, do you want to share about your experiences of transformation in the course?
Yeah. So when I first joined the course, I didn't really know what I was getting into. I was thinking, just as a hobbyist gardener, that, oh, I'm going to learn how to garden by working with nature, and I thought I had everything down, but when I got in there, I realized it was so much more than just that. It was looking at the bigger picture versus than just your small home garden. So you take permaculture, it's about taking care of the community around you, yourself, your family, the earth. It's a lot bigger than what our little yards and homes are, what our little families are. And it's about embracing the world, other people from different communities, and bringing all our differences together. So when I first got in there, I was thinking, oh, well, I'm going to learn how to work with nature, and I'm going to get some really good yields in my backyard garden. And that's all I thought I was going to get out of it. And then you see how, like, permaculture actually impacts everything far bigger than what we just are. And it kind of inspired me to be more, I guess, embracing of my surrounding community, because I know a lot of people these days don't have neighbors that really talk to each other. Even in my new development, it's hard to get to know somebody. You know, they'll wave to you, but then they just jet back into their house and try not to make eye contact. So just trying, and everybody's so different in the same neighborhood too. So instead of trying to, like, buy a piece of land out in the middle of nowhere and try to isolate yourself and, you know, try to build a homestead just in case the apocalypse, which a lot of people kind of attribute that to. It's about embracing the community around you and, like, building a stronger community where you guys take care of each other. And that's probably the biggest takeaway that I got, because I feel like I was pretty selfish when I first got in there. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be an awesome gardener, and that's all I was thinking. And then I realized it was so much more. And
now you have an apocalypse community.
Yeah, we can survive the apocalypse. Because we're working together instead of alone. So, yeah, it's huge. And I think that's what the world lacks these days, is actually trying to connect with different people and, you know, kind of utilizing everybody's strengths and becoming one, basically. So.
And I hear you maybe became a little selfless, you know, in a way, too, because you're looking out from beyond your yard, which is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good, Emmy.
So you were talking about skills coming in. You from your mindset coming in, you thought you were going to be learning how just to garden, which you did, plus 10 times more probably with all the different processes, because it's complex. What skills in particular could you share with the listening audience that was influential or impactful for you?
Gosh, I feel like the hands-on experience that I gained, as well as the practical knowledge, was huge, especially with the different sites. So I liked how we had varying sites. So we had, like, NOLA Farms, like, it was an outright rural farm area, and then we had a suburban area in the middle of Springs, which is kind of relatable to, you know, what I have here. And just having different sites to practice on and kind of apply the different systems. And having Becky Elder and Jamie really, you know, they've been here for so long and they're so experienced and they know this region so well, to have them hands-on, hold our hands through all the different processes and learning all the different systems within permaculture, that was huge. Being able to get out in the field and actually learning how to do these things, getting dirty, getting messy, you know, with the biochar reactor. And I remember we were mixing compost with a lot of manure, and I remember getting covered in that one day, but it was all worth it.
chicken poop compost.
I think there's a little bit of cow in there too. Yeah. So it was just all mixing up. It was,
But it was good.
So you know the actual ratios of stuff, and you know how to actually do it. And, you know, doing the hot composting, and gosh, there's so many different systems. Even the stuff that, and it gave me confidence. I think that's the biggest takeaway from that. It gave me confidence to apply all those systems that I learned in a design that I'm even applying at my own house, and I even extended it to my mom's house. Great. I'm one of the rare people in Colorado that has the exact opposite water problem than what Christy usually deals with. I have too much. I mean, I pretty much have a swamp. I live on a high water table in my neighborhood, apparently, and that kind of ultimately affect my foundation, and a lot of people in my neighborhood have sold because of that. And I'm stubborn, so I want to take this as a challenge, and I want to stay where I'm at, and I want to help my community help mitigate that by, you know, the different systems with the water management that I've learned there. So, and also, you know, get some snacks in my garden too. That's cool.
Fruit trees.
Yeah. So permaculture was your solution then for your problem with water management?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And much more than I did. Than I realized too.
That's great.
How much is the course?
The course is $15.50.
I'm just saying, like, I would pay $15.50 for that seed list alone. That we got
the seed list.
The seed list alone, where to buy seeds. I posted it, so just go to.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look that, because I was trying to keep up with writing it down, and I was like, I'm running out of lead. Like, it's not happening.
That seed list alone is worth.
I'm glad you brought that up, because most people are kind of hesitant at first about the cost. I think everybody at this table probably felt that. And, you know, while the cost of the PDC might be really high at first glance, the true value you get is just difficult to really quantify. Mm. Because you guys had mentioned, you get a wealth of advanced knowledge, you get the skills, and you're also held, your hand is held through countless hours and resources. We don't throw it all at you at once. We give you the step-by-step, and we make it very organized to where, you know, you're learning gardening, but then another weekend you're learning composting, and another weekend water management or greenhouse techniques. And you're likely going to spend a whole lot more if you went out and just took these same classes. Often these classes leave gaps in knowledge. You're not getting the full picture as you would in a PDC course. We're building on to this representation of how to, in a sense, be human.
Well, and I think that first weekend of, like, really exposing all of what we're up against as an earth, I think that it's so necessary, because then we get to build the foundation from that. You know?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's
like you got to tear it down before you really build it up.
I mean, I think a lot of what we had talked about in the course when it came to all of those feelings, when we have so much that's happening, you know, that is difficult, because you do see, like, just how selfish people can be, or, you know, how willing others are to have really community, or be able to kind of see the benefits of working together. And I think that when we were doing our design courses, that was a huge, you know, that was a huge test of, like, what is it really like to work with other people? Mm. Because, I feel like so much of what permaculture is teamwork and partnership and community, right? That's like almost at the core of it. You can't really do it alone.
No.
And what we're so conditioned to do is be singular people and do our own things and build our own, you know, kingdoms and our own little sandcastles, and not really care about how everyone else is doing.
Or how it's not sustainable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that doesn't really, it doesn't really work that way. If we're thinking about how things are in a sense. So when we were doing our designs, you know, that was a really big testament of, well, how much can you push yourself to be uncomfortable, or how much can you push yourself to sometimes have to address certain situations that you're not fully in agreement with, or
meeting people where they are. Yeah. Some of the things mm-hmm. that yeah. we had allowing, to do.
Right. Knowing you have to pick up some slack, or doing things that someone else said they'd do, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And we've really fallen out of that rhythm of, honestly, not only like teamwork and community, but grace.
Asking for help.
Mm-hmm. And asking for help.
Receiving
yeah.
help.
Like realizing that people need people. Mm-hmm. We need each other. But, you know, I think that that is so far from people's minds because mm-hmm. we separate all of that. Mm-hmm. It's always like a it's not me problem type of thing. Like we've talked about, you know, it's not a me problem. It's a them problem. And we're trying to stop that separation.
It's a we problem.
It's definitely a we problem. We're
it's a we solution.
We're a mycelium network, and everything is connected, regardless of how it looks from the top. You know, from mm-hmm. the ground up, but they're all still connected underneath, and that's how we should think of mm-hmm. you know the human race. Is we're all connected in that way, mm-hmm. but we have to. It's hard because you're fighting that battle of trying to. I wouldn't even say, because I hate the idea of thinking convince. I don't think I'm convincing anyone. It's more so the rewiring, mm-hmm. dropping what you know, being completely uncomfortable, and learning what does that mean? How do I reshape myself from here? Because a lot of us don't know how to drop our programming.
We're conditioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're conditioned.
Yeah. We're also different, but you have to embrace diversity, and permaculture emphasizes that quite a bit. Yeah. There's different, everybody has different strengths and weaknesses, especially where our backgrounds are concerned.
Totally.
And that's huge. So instead of seeing that as a threat, like some people do, it's important to integrate that and utilize those strengths.
We're stronger together. Segregate.
Yes. Oh, hey.
The ecosystem dies. Yeah, the ecosystem dies without diversity every single time.
And it came like very clearly in the classes and stuff, especially with the design course and working with different people. Like, it's not just our ethnic backgrounds or anything that make us different. It's our mindsets, where we come from, how we think, how we manage things. So working together as a team, I mean, that brought a whole different set of challenges, but it's so applicable to everyday life and just working with your community or just going to work in general. Just like respecting other people and learning how to work with them instead of against them. And I think that's really missing in a lot of like work culture, community culture, or just culture in general. And if anything, the PDC makes a great work team builder course. So maybe sign your coworkers up for that or something. Because you'll learn how to work really well with other people by the end of it.
For sure.
We're always taught to be like, when we're younger, you know, mm-hmm. we're just being raised to become mm-hmm. independent, but that's that's not the way that it works. Mm-hmm. You know, that phrase takes a village.
Yeah.
And when you're going for a job, mm-hmm. that's what they ask too. Do you know how to work as a team? Yeah. Like you said,
it's huge.
So,
yeah.
Good. And morning.
Very, very good experience there for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely worth it. I know people shy away from the course price. I know I was in like a tumultuous like employment situation where I knew I was probably going to be leaving my work at some point. So it's not, I wouldn't steer away from it because of the cost. They're very good at working with you. They have the work opportunities. So, you know, you'd help out with the course and all that. It'll help out with cost. And then, you know, they're more than willing to work with you. It's definitely integration versus segregation. Even if you don't have that type of money, if you show that you have a passion for this and you really want this, Somebody's they're going to embrace you. Yeah, somebody's mm-hmm. going to make it happen so you can get in there. Yeah. So don't think cost is a barrier to it. I know they're... This is part of building community. This is including everybody. Like, you shouldn't feel left out of it because you can't mm-hmm. afford $15.50 or whatever it is, you know? Like,
we there's so many options. We break down the barriers in the PDC, too.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Of money.
It's worth it. I took it twice.
Yeah. The value is way greater.
I want you to know right now, I do not have $3,000 laying around my house. I took it twice. So just be aware that you don't have to have it just to do it. And then, you know, they were like, hey, you want to come back? Absolutely. They're like, well, what can you do? Well, I don't know. They're like, well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It's fine.
And if you're fortunate enough to have that money to do it, know that it's going to a good place for educating people and to good people who are trying to change the world in a better way. It's completely worth it. So, nobody shy away from it, from whatever. It is a commitment. Don't get me wrong. Those are some long weekends and you get tired, especially if you have a full-time job or family to take care of.
It's a good practice of commitment, though, right? And I think to achieve a lot of these things within community, we need that stretch of the muscle for
commitment.
We need
discipline. Mm-hmm. We need more, we need more of that, the discipline and the the time that you're putting in is a part of kind of breaking that instant gratification that everyone's so used to, because you want to just be able to show up and do the class for a weekend and get your thing and go home. But you realize you got to show up 10 weekends in a row and this you start really rethinking life, you know? Like, you're like, oh man, somebody asked me to go to this thing next weekend. I got to go to course?
Darn. Fast-speed permaculture.
Yeah.
It's another principle. Slow and small solutions.
Yes, slow and small.
And I'd like to hear some principles out of y'all throughout this conversation.
Sure.
I'm going to challenge you. Do you remember?
I like to stack my functions. It's cool.
Well, while they're thinking about that, I just wanted to mention the next PDC actually starts mid-February of this year. And the course runs, as they were saying, over 10 weekends. We do have some hands-on experience days and tours, including a visit to the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute. And as they mentioned, we do offer work trade positions, payment plans, and financial aid, because we do believe that permaculture should be accessible to anyone who wants to learn it. And you know, that leads me to a really good question, too. Do you believe a PDC is for everyone?
Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That is a hard yes.
Absolutely.
So a banker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How about a homemaker?
Of course.
I think anybody. I really think anybody could utilize. Yeah, I think anybody.
Even a corporate CEO, honestly,
all
they could
of
use
them
it the
should
most.
Be mandatory to a PDC. I think any state official should be. I think anybody on your city council who's making decisions about earth care and people care absolutely should be mandated to take a PDC.
Yeah. Everybody
say that
in the
again,
government.
Christy.
Everyone in government needs to take a PDC.
That's developing in a region they're not familiar with. I'm so sorry. I was passionate about that one.
No, it's real. Yeah, I mean, it really, anyone who is within, you know, taking care of the, like you said, the earth, if you're a landscaper, if you build houses, if you're a contractor, if you're
utilities.
Really involved with, just anything that is going to affect people, this course is really great because it highlights more than just gardening. It's, and I think that's what Jamie, like, her favorite thing is, like, you know, it's not just gardening. We're way more than gardeners. You know,
she says all the things.
We're all the things. We really are. We're seeing things at a whole nother level on the magnifying glass times 50.
That macro or the micro.
Yeah. And you can't really unsee once you've seen. So that's why it's so life changing, because we're all in autopilot. And a lot of the things that we think we know, we may not know so much about. And we're not always as educated as we think we are. And so coming here, it opens your eyes a lot to just how in danger we are as people, and no one knows. We really do not know. Everyone's just out there living their merry lives and not realizing how serious we are on the precipice of like danger when we're talking about, you know, our water supply, healthy drinking water, and, you know, peak oil, and
like how our everyday habits are really adding to some of the danger and to the lack of intention in our days, which is nobody's fault, right? Like we're so
programmed
by design, you know, to just bring to move so fast and absorb and consume things so quickly, so that we miss that passion and that depth into things.
I think it's very important for future generations to get involved too. So I would like to see a PDC course maybe geared towards children or maybe integrated into schools. Because I mean, we're old news here. Like, we're not old, but we're old news. And, you know, the future is going to be in our younger generation soon with our children and stuff like that. So I think when they learn that young, they can be more mindful as they grow up, you know, experiencing things. And I think it would just be great to just have that integrated somehow.
A PDC summer camp.
And that's why I encourage parents who are listening especially if you have young children, get them involved now, because they are our future leaders. And when we can open that lens, that permaculture lens to them, where they can see what's being offered to us on this beautiful planet we live on, then their sustenance and their mental health will change significantly. And if you want to learn more about children in permaculture, I did cover a podcast on Peak Environment, so you guys can listen to that if you'd like to. But and I say it, and I've said it several times before, but it's really a shame that kids can recognize 100 corporate labels, but they can't recognize 10 plants in their in their yard. That's a problem.
Yeah,
that is a problem.
That is something that I battle very often.
I love your kid in the garden.
You know, she's a beast.
She's great.
She's hilarious. Like, she loves doing stuff like that. And that, and I do try to encourage her to do more of that, because she can, you know, with kiddos, especially kiddos nowadays, they really know nothing outside of like electronics and TVs and computer screens. Like, that's all they know. I mean, I had to have an entire conversation with her last week. Like, she's like telling me that I'm grounding her because I told her that we just are going to spend less time on our television and doing more like skills. Like, we're going to do more skilled things around the house, because obviously she needs some assistance with learning how to implement skills, like cleaning up after yourself. Like, you take something out, you put it back. It's like, so having like that, just trying to be more intentional about how she can do those things. But then she's thinking to herself, this is a punishment. And I'm like, no, this is like a normal kid's life. We just
we're rewiring
We're just trying to implement a little bit different movements here. So I think it's really funny that kids nowadays, their mindset is like, you know, no TV, no phone. Like, oh no, I'm in trouble. The world is ending. I did something wrong. And you're thinking to yourself, like, no, go outside and touch dirt.
Yeah.
Like, literally, go outside and just breathe some air. Like, and that's what I love the most is I think she does. I will say she probably spends, you know, a good chunk of time outside in the backyard, like just playing in dirt, making, you know, mud patties and doing stuff, like being
good
creative
stuff.
Because that's what a lot of people nowadays, they kind of keep their kids from doing, right? Because we've been told it's bad, and or they're going to get sick, they're going to get diseases, all of this stuff from playing in dirt. We used to do that all the time, and it's just a part of building your immune system. So that's why I encourage, you know, that earth-based play, like, let the kids play. Let them play.
You know, kids are like in prison now all the time.
Yes. They're in the concrete prisons.
Right. And, you know, I found when I was teaching the children, especially elementary age, that the bully in the classroom became the leader outside.
Yep.
And, you know, there were several kids that had attention problems, and then they'd be inside and they'd be fiddling with something. But, you know, that's accessible in nature, you know, sticks and textures and patterns and smells and and breezes. You know, there's so many senses that can be engaged. And I think that we're confusing that when we say that kids have attention problems. Well, I think they just don't have enough. They don't have enough stimulus. Because it's hard mm-hmm. to sit still. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. even in my home, if I'm sick, I'm like, oh, I'm going to really want to do this or that, you know. Right. It's hard yep. to sit still. And I think that you don't really ever lose that, mm-hmm. you know.
It's very uncommon that most real kiddos are able to sit and concentrate on anything for more than, you know, 5 minutes. So mm-hmm. this construct of the whole, like, sit in class for 6-7 hours a day, focus. It's kind of like
counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. It's just really unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's unrealistic. And that's why I think as people are so programmed in that way of always feeling like we're wrong. We're doing things wrong because that's how it's always been from the very beginning. You try to do your natural mm-hmm. things, and you're told, no, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Stop fiddling. Stop, you know, stop trying to do cartwheels. Stop digging in the dirt. Stop making stuff, you know.
Stop talking.
Yeah, all of that.
Stop talking.
Well, you know, there's people who talk, but mm-hmm. That's a part of the equation. Mm-hmm. We have to have our talkers and our listeners and mm-hmm. the doers and the thinkers and that's a part of it. It's whatever the divergence series.
Humans were not built to sit in places where they have to just be forced to learn things constantly, just the way somebody structured it, just so they can function to do their corporate jobs or work. It's so much more than that. So the development at that age, especially elementary school and preschool and that kind of stuff, it's so important for them to learn how to interact with nature, other people, their community, how to become social. A lot of those things are lost in kids these days because how to be kind to animals and, you know, just have respect for life in general. I mean, a lot of that comes with hands-on playing, figuring out, being creative, using your imagination, and that's almost like kind of groomed out of people these days, especially in schools. It's you got to learn your ABCs before preschool at this point, which I was just shocked. And my first grader has homework, and I'm like, for math, and I'm like, you're basically doing algebra, and you're in first grade. Like, I'm glad you're smart enough to figure this out. That's wonderful, but I want you to just be a kid because you have the rest of your life to be an adult. It's so huge. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, for anybody who's mm-hmm. listening too that might have children, mm-hmm. we never turn children away from the PDCs. Mm-hmm. They're on the weekends. We encourage your children to come and learn and engage with you. Mm-hmm. No, they don't have to pay tuition. but if you have, say you have a 15-year-old who really wants to get into maybe the agricultural field or the natural building, because we teach skills like that, mm-hmm. This would be a great course for them too. Bonding experience for you and your child to do this together, or you and your spouse. Mm-hmm. We've had several PDCs where husband and wife, I think mm-hmm. two this year, mm-hmm. This past year, that came in together to learn. And Jamie, her daughter, was always following, you know, with her when she went through her courses, and then she became our first PDC graduate at 14. Oh,
we had a baby born in the PDC this year.
We did. We had a whole gestation.
Yeah, we really did. It was really fun. And we had lots of animals, mm-hmm. not just the domestic kind.
You were petting cows quite a bit down in Avondale, weren't you?
Yeah. Cow cuddles.
How could you forget cow cuddles?
I have to tell you something I have never experienced in the United States and have kind of pushed my boundaries or pushed my edge to do so is get close to a cow. And most of them that I have stopped to get close to in the U.S. are like, no way. They're afraid of people, and I get it, right?
Yeah,
but so this was the first place in the United States that I was able to, like, we were embraced by those cows. That was probably one of the coolest moments.
Yeah.
That was really fun. When you were talking about specific principles, I want to mention managing edges. I think that is my favorite new principle. For the sake of like our timeline, we're certainly managing edges. And I have this in front of me, so I'm just going to read it. But it says, creating several edges to establish perimeters and bridge systems, right? But then dead hedges, windbreaks, paddocks, and so on all create new edges within an ecosystem, which we all did that, right? We all we definitely created some windrows, I feel like, in every thing. But this, which allows more diversity and habitat. So, like, if we're turning that into with people care, you know, creating new edges within this ecosystem of humanness, which allows more diversity and habitat, I think, yeah. I don't know. It's just been something I've been pondering on since we left the PDC.
I think my big one probably is just like applying self-regulation.
Yes.
and trying to reframe things from there, you know, take the feedback, apply it. Mm-hmm. I think that can be hard in any setting. Mm-hmm. So I've been using that on a regular basis. But not just in permaculture, real life too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Permaculture is real life.
It is.
It's embracing all of it.
you know what I mean. Just, yeah. Those are together. But I think that I probably utilize that as much as like trying to produce like no waste, but that's just really hard. But it I do is. Try. It's a conscious thing.
It is a conscious thing.
But it also makes it conscious how just difficult it is to be no waste.
Well, I think at the point that we're at in this edge of time that I'm speaking of is when we're talking no waste or we're talking glyphosate, we're at a point where there's not going to be none. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just lightening the load is really the new goal. Mm-hmm. And if we can get there, then maybe we can get to a point where there's none for, like, kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be the hope.
And the principle, produce no waste. Mm-hmm. We just try our best. And you said it too earlier, Shay, that you can't beat yourself up about it. Because mm-hmm. we're not, mm-hmm. our system of society that we're set up in right now mm-hmm. is so industrial. And there's not a lot, like, we're expected as the consumer to be responsible, yet the producers aren't responsible. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our packaging or our clothing are mm-hmm. very unsustainably sourced. And then there's really nowhere that we can put them mm-hmm. except landfills, unfortunately, and that on its own is very inappropriate landfilling.
Yeah,
nobody is talking about us burying our trash in plastic still, but that's for another podcast.
Well, that is why we have to utilize more of our observation. That's so like you said, just doing what we can, minimizing mm-hmm. As much as possible. I know I try to, you know, thrift as much as I can. I try to recycle as much as I can. You know, I don't do everything, but I do what I can. So I think that is the mm-hmm. part that we try to highlight as much yeah. is that your mm-hmm. effort, whether it's 10% or 90%, is still effort.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to do everything, right? Mm-hmm. I was in the garden the other day. We were so gracious to have like 500 mushroom bricks dropped.
Ooh.
Right, as a donation. So nice. Grateful.
Very cool.
After taking the plastic off of 500 mushroom bricks, mm-hmm. I had a giant plastic monster in the garden, and I've never seen one in there before. You know what I mean? And I was yep. just like, however, that is not my battle to fight because I have my plate full already. Mm-hmm. You know, like you really have to pick your battles mm-hmm. because you're not going to have time in this lifetime to mm-hmm. do it all.
There are a lot of challenges and a lot that people don't actually see when you look at every single little aspect. I mean, it seems insurmountable. Basically, even our produce, get it locally. I mean, you can't put raspberries in a cardboard container. They're just not going to stay. It's just the nature of things. Like, you'd have to pick them fresh, and you'd have to have them seasonally, and people want what they want when they want it, right?
So we have to get raspberries.
Yeah, so, like, learning to grow your own stuff. But then, you know, we speak in permaculture, obviously, the more we can do local, the better we can do. But we also don't want to deprive ourselves completely from, you know, tasting a banana that we can't grow right. here, that kind of
the
stuff.
The system, so, being in the system that we're already
yeah, in. So I think if everybody took the time to reduce their impact in some small way, I think that makes huge changes. I mean, you don't have to drop everything. Like, I'm the notorious person with multiple cars. I like my multiple cars. That's my hobby. And I know the carbon output and all that kind of stuff, but I try to be more mindful, self-regulatory on other things I do. I try to, you know, reuse other things. I don't try to purchase excessively, things like that. So you don't, it's showing, it's embracing, you can still do what you want. You can still enjoy, you know, the luxuries of modern society and industrialization, but we just have to do it responsibly. So, and just understanding where things come from and, you know, really appreciating it. So,
and the first step, take a PDC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Permaculture course.
It's a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always life changing, right?
I feel like I'm the crazy person now.
Why?
Because now it's like every time like you talk to someone and you're like they bring up anything.
We just got to hang out more. It's okay.
They bring up anything that's like related to something. You're like, do you know about permaculture?
I know.
You're like the bad salesman that they don't realize they're in the room
oh,
with.
No. So I was morning in yoga class.
Out of nowhere, you're like living your normal life, and then you go, do you want to learn about permaculture, young man? They're like, what? Because it just, you can't help but to want to just tell people about it and try to, you know, introduce people to it. Yeah.
Or if you're in their house and they have like plugins and stuff, you're like, I'm plugging them for them.
Absolutely. You're looking at people's plants and their gardens and their yards and all of this stuff. So
I guess I take a more subtle approach to that. Like, I'm one of those people who likes to lead by example. So when I took this course, I got so excited. I started digging up my yard. I started like mulching everything.
Yes.
Like, mulch and permaculture. It's a thing. But yeah, everything was covered in mulch. That's probably Shay's nightmare, as she's told me before. I mean, I have been able to avoid the gym, like all that mulch, and I upgraded to moving rock around now.
Okay.
We did manage to. So my friend in a nearby neighborhood, less than a mile away, she's like, hey, we're trying to redo our yard, and it's in a little HOA. And I have a bunch of river rock. Do you want this river rock? And because yep. I'm the weirdo who has too much water and can start my own water district in my lot in Colorado.
You're getting watermelon seeds this year.
Yes. Huh?
You're getting watermelon seeds this year.
Heck yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, come back to stacking functions. I know we're kind of circling back here and why it's my favorite thing. I mean, I basically have a water park / mud run obstacle course in my backyard. And while I was digging things up, I'm utilizing this water. I'm not trying to get rid of it and trying to dump it. I'm trying to slow and spread the flow. I'm trying to use it so I don't have to use that water, you know, from my local metro district or anything like that. And it can hopefully, if I designed it properly, and I'll be able to learn, one of those things is taking feedback. I don't remember exactly. Self-regulation and observing and feedback. I think it was one of the principles.
Apply self-regulation and feedback.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There
Accept
we go.
Accept feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm doing that for my own area. So I'm hoping I can have this lush, beautiful garden / yard that
You're
can be
gonna.
Inspiring yep. to will. Everybody else in the neighborhood. And they can come up to me and be like, hey, what are you doing to get those nice raspberries? If I like drop some raspberries off at my neighbor's door or some mulberries, I am going to try mulberries. It's going to happen. It's a thing. But I repurposed her rock. There's no, it is very, very local. And I'm like, yes, I need your rock. She's going to try to do more mulch, do more of a natural kind of landscape in her area. So everybody benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have a water park and a self-regulating watering system in my yard by rerouting where things go and planting things accordingly to utilize that water and do a bunch of diverse planting. So stay tuned for posted pictures.
That's another permaculture principle is use and value renewable resources. Yep. So everything is a resource. You can be, you have to be careful with that sometimes because you can get very large zones of accumulation. But you know, it's if you don't need something, don't be afraid to ask somebody else if they'd like for that versus sending it to the landfill.
Yeah. Facebook Marketplace is an awesome place. I love how you identified the water table problem in your neighborhood. That's going to be really huge.
Yeah, it's an unusual one because where I am locally, it's threatening foundations. And sure, it might hold up for like the, because it is a new build area. And they're basically putting new builds in places that I didn't even think you could somehow through regulations.
You can't.
So, Christy, you need to educate some people.
Join me in city council.
In Delvitz, yeah. So I didn't find this out until I started living here and I noticed people were selling and moving. I was like, what's going on? And I noticed some cracks in my walls and my ceiling and stuff. And I was like, well, I mean, it's Colorado. We have heavy clay soil and stuff like that. But then I noticed there's like a tiny little puddle by my fence and the fence had algae in the bottom. And I was like, what is going on here? And I pulled back landscaping fabric. I hate landscaiving fabric. And
what do we say? No to plastic. No to the landscape fabric.
So I pulled it back and it was just mud and it was wet. And it was just constantly wet. And I dug up this area because that's one of the areas that I utilize my design that I made up. Thankfully, after taking the permaculture course, I felt confident enough to take this on my own instead of, you know, hiring a landscaper.
For thousands
probably,
of dollars.
Yeah, multiple thousands of dollars to do that. And I felt empowered to do that. So I pulled it back. I started digging out my like little irrigation swale, whatever you want to call it. And then I'm going to utilize a rain garden. Garden further up in front of my yard, so I'm going to funnel that there. But yeah, the next day when I came out to continue digging, it was full of water.
Wow.
Like I dug out 2 feet of this trench and it was full of water. So then my kids came running out. So, you know, not terribly bad thing, threatening my foundation, but my kids had a great time rolling around and all that and splashing around and playing with their little toy dump trucks and stuff. So it was good because they were actually excited. And it was funny because the little curly slide that comes off their little playground goes directly into that trench and they're like, wee, and just splashing. I was like, just go to town, have fun, kids. This is what it's about. So yeah, it was helpful. I knew what the problem is. I don't think very many people, if anybody, really digs up and looks at their land and
they call someone.
Tries to problem solve it. And I realized I had a bigger issue and I knew exactly what the issue was and I felt empowered through the PDC courses in being able to take care of this issue. So that's huge because I don't want to leave. Like, I'm very stubborn and I take pride in, you know, my little piece of plot of land that I have there. And I mean, it's not helping anybody to hop around to different places. And like I said, hopefully that's valuable to my community, helping them do the same things too. Trying to save that.
Yeah. Sense of place is really important for us. Yeah. The transient nature of our species is really not beneficial to building community or helping the future generations to thrive. And I think you just gave me the name of the podcast. I was struggling with what I wanted to call it, but it's going to be called Before You Hire a Landscaper.
Oh, nice.
And it's because, you know, it's true. Christy made up a good point. Thousands and thousands of dollars, but you were empowered and you took the PDC and you made it happen. Yeah. And you can, even if you have 100 acres out there and you're like still like overwhelmed, you know, a PDC can help with that. We do micro scale and macro scale and we have, you know, we have people in our course and other teachers that come in to educate. So it's not just, you know, a set instructors. We're opening the door to anybody who has these skill sets who want to come in and share with their community skills that will help us all.
Such cool courses and teachers that we had. The variety of teachers was really impressive. Shay was even a teacher for us.
I was.
Yeah. She did great. Really, I loved it.
It certainly inspired me to want to
teach and move further mm-hmm. into the permaculture teaching certification.
Yeah, I was actually inspired to become one of the board supervisors in our local conservation district in El Paso.
That's right.
I'm hoping to help out there. And if anybody, you know, wants to, who lives in El Paso County and, you know, has things that they want us to tackle or take care of, please reach out to our website and everything. So I think that's huge because we need to hear from you what, you know, we need to help with and what we want from our community and our land and our place. So,
yeah.
You listening mm-hmm. have a voice, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also go to city council meetings.
Yep, they're live.
Yeah. So, no matter how big or small your plot of land is, or if you don't even have any land at all, PDC is, it's huge. It helps you understand what you're working with, and that's empowering.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about you guys' design sites in particular, the presentation at the end of the course? So this is where you get to show your work to your host sites. Mm-hmm. What would you like to say how that experience was for you all?
So for me, when we really got into the designing, at first I thought I kind of had an idea as to what I was doing. And then it seemed like the more that we were doing the design, everything was changing. And I kept constantly having to like restart from square one. It felt like we kept going back to the drawing board for square one. Like, okay, so what exactly do we want to do? What exactly do we want to do? So in our particular design, we had a lot of different things that like our clients had asked for. And their big concern was, you know, community, and that because of the piece of property that they had, you know, some unutilized land. They had animals and different things that they wanted to try to help enrich their land and the money that they were getting. So we had at first so many different thoughts on how we wanted to do this initial project. We thought about trying to do the entire property and trying to like incorporate, you know, the one hillside and then the farther, you know, east side where they had like all of this land with, you know, where they had their
hip camp.
Yeah, the hip camp and the, you know, the U-Pick area, like they already had like their little cherry trees. So we had all of this land to work with. And I think that that was, it was funny because we did have to incorporate a lot of our principles in that, you know, having to scale down and trying to only focus on what is important here. What is like going to be the important part of the value of the project. So when we got to the very end, we had ended up scratching like half of everything that we had practiced and done over the last few weeks, and then decided to just focus on the one hillside. Once we did all of that, it felt like the presentation really came together. You start to remember that you can start small, slow and steady, right? And so you can just start small and you don't have to figure out the big picture. So our presentation, you know, my particular group, we did a skit style.
Now we're cute.
and we were, we had a narrator and the camper, and I was a cow named Moulette. And I was, you know, we had this cute little skit where we were talking about, you know, the hillside and like, oh, this really cool, you know, garden and this really awesome space for all of these nice little camping areas and places that we could, you know, utilize some edges and, you know, put in all of those swales for the walkways. And then, of course, kind of also highlighting how that feeds into the other parts of their property and things that they had problems with, like the water that they were trying to be, figure out how to disperse from one side of their property to another side. And so in that entire ending, I left with a lot of knowledge on actually knowing how to assess doing a design.
A large design.
And a mm-hmm. large design at that, on a large property, but realizing how much of that, and also realizing how much of that takes time. You can't design over a week or 3 weeks or 2 months. You have to almost design over an entire year for someone, because you have to be able to see all of their their sectors, right? The sun, the snow, the rainfall. Where do their droughts hit? Where are those issues lying on the property? So we learned so much within that year of also looking at every property in different parts of the seasons. That really helped us too in understanding how does this property look throughout the entire year and how do we plan on it? Mm-hmm. So that's what I got from the very end of my design. I really felt like once I was looking at everything, that's when all of the little pieces of everything we learned, all of the little patterns and, you know, how to do this and do that, all of that came together and it made sense at the end.
Mm-hmm. What's that principle, Shay? Observe and interact.
Yes.
So the observation mm-hmm. stage, yeah. I mean, if you're a homeowner, it's a good point. You know, you need to know the ins and outs of the way the water flows, the way the sun hits, orientation of the house,
what it
trees
looks like in the snow.
Right. Yes. What plants would be appropriate in certain areas. So, yeah, the observation and then do slow.
Yes.
Slow movements to towards building, for instance, a food forest is not just an overnight. Like people sometimes will say, I want fruit trees growing fruit next year. Well, it doesn't happen that way. It's a process. And you actually have to have a lot of things incorporated into that. And biodiversity is huge if you want plants to be successful out here.
Especially. And I will say that trip to Crimpy was amazing. Mm-hmm. I think that and that's not even in the course. That was just an added bonus.
Group but tours,
yes, the group tour, but that tour was awesome because you really got to see. We went way outside of just Southeast Colorado Springs, you know, and we saw like mountainside basalt permaculture, cool. what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very cool really getting to see the actual working guild and actually seeing all of the trees. We thought we were standing in a forest and he's like, everything around you is edible. I lost my mind.
Yeah.
In the middle of a high altitude desert.
Yeah. At 10,000 feet, I lost my mind. I was like, what?
It's nice to see what can actually happen over the course of 5 to 10 years when you're actually applying more than just a few of these principles. Yeah,
absolutely.
I will forever be on every field trip to Basalt and Crimpy. That's what hooked me. So
for sure. Because I mean, grapes, come on. They were growing grapes. And all the tropicals, there was limes in there.
Banana tree.
There was a banana tree.
Grapefruit.
Oh my goodness. And we're in the middle of, you know, like the freaking high desert. So that was really when I was like, wow, like
this is what's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like just the fact that they did all of that and built it all and it's like so sustainable and just like the way that that whole system is, like, yeah. That's what really when you're at the design entrance and then the end, you see like at first it feels impossible. But then when you're seeing the end, it's never really an end because there's always an add-on. You got stuff to do. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing the pieces come together. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that makes it so exciting.
The click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The click.
But they didn't build it overnight. So we just got to get out of that instant gratification mode where we expect cherry trees to produce cherries immediately after we plant them and everything. Yeah. So,
and you, PDC,
yeah,
how did you feel about that ending?
About the ending?
Yeah, like when you...
Your presentation.
You present
I felt really... It felt really good because, like Shay said, all the pieces finally came together and I felt confident in the knowledge that I gained. And I had two very, very amazing teammates that came from two completely different backgrounds. I mean, shout out to Bert. She was so amazing with her, like, extensive plant knowledge. So we were able to utilize that strength and, you know, where we put the plants and how we utilize them. And then Leora was so good about putting input and asking certain questions like, hey, what if we do this here? How would this impact that? So kind of open our minds to, oh, well, that's another observation we do need to think about. I think the biggest challenge with the whole design project was taking the time to observe. So if you're not the actual homeowner or the farmer and you don't work or live on that land, you really have to almost interrogate the actual homeowner or the farmer about what their observations are. And if they haven't been there for so long to kind of see that, just like Shay said, you kind of go back to the drawing board. I mean, you might even do that regardless after you implement everything, and then you observe, see how things go, and then you have to make changes along the way. So even if you come out with your initial design, everything sounds great on paper, and you're thinking, great, in theory, it's going to look, we didn't get a chance to implement it. So it's a continuing lesson, you know? Like, we think we have it together. It gives us the confidence to start, but also it gives you the excitement to see how it turns out and how you can improve upon it, if there's any changes to make, so you can apply that to future designs or help other people out with, depending on what direction you want to go with that. So, I think the biggest challenge was observation, but yeah, never stop learning with it. There's still so much. You think you have the systems down. You think this applies to this particular situation, but you don't know until you actually apply it and let it see what it does over time.
Yeah, nature is so complex. Mm-hmm. We'll never figure it out. But permaculture helps. Sure helps.
It does.
It really does. I had this same design site as Shay, and our design site, I felt was, I love a challenge, right? I was incredibly intimidated by this design site, not just because of the size, but because it's a working farm. It's already established and working, and its stewards are permies, you know? And it was so cool to be on that site and to look at the other cattle farms around and not see any green. And, you know, Josh saying, they're observing. They see us staying green over here and what we've done in the time that we've been here, and they're paying attention. And so it was like almost this working permaculture site that we got to be a part of, and then presenting, and exactly right what both of you just said is we had all these great ideas in our head, and then the minute they got put on paper, everything changed. And then the minute we compared paper to actual land, everything changed again, and we restarted quite a few times. And it was really good to work with different skill sets and mindsets, and it was nice to get some nods from the farmers during our presentation. That felt really good, even if they would never apply anything. But I think that they actually have applied some things. So,
oh, cool.
Are they going to build a perma hut? Because that was an amazing design.
I'll give them a discount.
You need to patent that.
Well, and that was something that really took me out of my shell. I've been one of these people that has never thought, I've always thought of myself as the observer and never the creator. And I've never thought I was like creative in an artistic way. Drawing the perma hut, and like that was the first 3D piece of anything I've ever drawn.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
My skills.
And I felt like I was in school, and I was like, you are creative. I was like rewriting some of these stories that traditional school told me and that I've carried on, you know? So that was a really cool thing that I didn't expect at all.
Well, everybody is creative.
Yes.
You know, whether you're a speaker, a writer, or you draw, or you paint, or you sing, or you dance, that's a creative something. So, you know, it's the different art forms. That's what people have to remember. You're definitely creative in any just different ways.
It was good.
Yeah.
Well, and then what was I just gonna say? Oh, nobody wants to practice public speaking. And we all got a good practice in that, and I needed that. For like what's just happening in my life, and it was good.
I learned to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
I mean that's my huge takeaway.
Wait. The weekend in the shed with the hornets.
Oh yeah,
that was hilarious. But it was one of those lessons, literally one of those lessons where Jamie was like, "We are one with nature.
We are one with nature.
We don't step on
they're that. Gonna they're already here.
and we're not gonna bother them.
And then Christy gets stung. But not on purpose. It was just she accidentally happened to put her hand on the doorknob when one was sitting on the doorknob. So, you know, but it was funny because in that I think that mm-hmm. weekend, that specific weekend was the weekend where we were like, Oh, they're serious.
yeah,
it was great.
Well, and even though we were roughing it, we were gifted by every host. Remember, he brought us fresh milk mm-hmm. and fresh eggs.
He supplied us rice when we were short-handed on stuff, so that was very kind. But that was definitely Shay's episode of the Fear Factor.
It was
permaculture style edition.
It was so bad.
So, PDC course can also be a Toastmaster course because that is also an organization that, you know, you learn to public speak, which is so important nowadays.
I hated public speaking, like hated with capital H-A-T-E, hated. Yeah, it was bad. And I felt way more comfortable with it. And I'm enjoying being uncomfortable and challenging myself.
Yay!
It's been a journey, a big personal journey, and I love it. So it's been good.
For those who are listening who might still be on the fence about what this is or if it's right for them, do you three have any suggestions on why they should consider taking this leap and to do it now, to sign up now for this February course and not delay?
Now is the time. We need community more than ever, everywhere I look. And this is the answer to that. And not maybe just in entering in this community, but being able to maybe create community, feel comfortable mm-hmm. in community, or to know how to just start flexing that muscle of being in community that I think we all lost post-COVID.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a good point, Christy.
And even if you don't think even if you're still kind of stuck in that mindset of, you know, self-sustainability, I know that's a big topic for a lot of people. Nobody wants to really have to depend on people. But even just for personal transformation, that's huge. Like I said, I learned to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that's translated throughout my entire life, work life, you know, personal life. Just it's changed me into a different person that I love so much more than I originally was. And that's huge. And even if you don't think you need the community, do it. Like, even if it's going to be, you know, potentially selfish for yourself, you'll feel so much better, and I think you'll actually want to engage with other people after that. So that's my takeaway from
it. That was beautiful.
Oh,
no, everybody's starting to cry.
And of course, I have to go last. I was going, you know, with just the climate of this world and the amount of how much love is needed right now. We need that. And the PDC brings a completely different experience and energy that can break up that monotony of feeling like, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have a place that you can go to be understood, or you don't have people around you that can be open to the ideas that you have. And so I feel like if you're already here and you're thinking about the PDC and you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know, you're already in the right place and it's already calling to you. So you should
jump.
Just do it, because you're going to be that person that introduces it to the next person who is going to introduce it to the next person, and then it's going to grow. And we can't do that without more people willing to be open to those changes, because we're being more and more pushed apart right now. And we really, especially in permaculture, the base of it is all about unity and sticking together. And when we do that, we are stronger. So we need more people in the PDC. And if you're feeling alone or don't have anyone around you, or maybe you have some land, or you're thinking about like, what can I do to maybe outreach to other people who are thinking about these things? Then this is where you start. You literally meet your community when you start PVC.
Mm. And permaculture is, mm-hmm. I mean, it's very well known all over the world right now, changing mm-hmm. many communities. It's the way to save people. You're mm-hmm. right, Jay. And it's the way to save the planet and the other creatures and life forms that live on our planet. Mm-hmm. And we're not alone. Yeah, and to be a good person, you know, fair mm-hmm. share.
We're all watching these systems fall. Permaculture is the foundation of all of the new systems to come. That's really what I see. That's why now is the time to be in a PDC.
And, oh, yeah. And if you, and just, if you have any fear about anything, food scarcity, job security, home security, you know, any of that, you, permaculture gives you some of that control and that sense of, you can help yourself.
Yes. We can liberate each other.
Empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's another great reason to take the PDC if you're, or just looking into permaculture, right? If you're feeling like, hey, how do I prepare myself for just something? If my water went out tomorrow, if I didn't have any electricity, if I couldn't get to the gas station or the grocery store for a few weeks, what would I do? That is just a great place to start, because you'll have some type of tool that will be able to help you find a way. And that is so valuable in this era right now, when we are very much kind of surrounded by a feeling as though we depend on others to be our saviors, or people that, you know, we're waiting on Calvary, right? We can be our own Calvary in certain ways, especially if we were a community.
Right.
Yeah.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
We're all in this together, so
yes.
That's the moral of the story.
I love you guys.
And everybody out there who's listening, we love you too.
We love you guys too.
Yes, we do. We love you all.
So much love.
Many thanks to you, Emmy, Jay, and Christy. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on another episode of Peak Environment Podcast. Be sure to check out the other community podcast at studio809podcast.com. Peak Environment is recorded at Studio 809 Podcast, inside the Next Us, a cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. I would like to acknowledge that the land we're on is unceded territory of the ancestral homeland of the Ute people, who have stewarded this land throughout many previous generations, gathering at the base of Tavakavi, which means Sun Mountain, and what we call in our society Pikes Peak, America's Mountain. We also acknowledge that these lands were occupied by the Arapaho and the Cheyenne. It's important to recognize and respect the enduring relationships that exist between many indigenous peoples and their traditional homelands, and I encourage you all to engage with these communities.
The Calvary is in the community. That was beautiful. Can we put that on a t-shirt?
Thinking about that earlier, permaculture should have some shirts for advertising. Yeah,
for well, it looks like I have a job now. Go ahead and tell them they have to hire me.
Permaculture, it's the shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
I love it.
Like, seriously, though.
Oh, we could come up with so many.
Oh, so yeah. Many.